So yesterday the big news was the Pandora Papers. Like someone opened the box and magically we found out something. And again, as I said yesterday, we've known this for a long time. And I had a bunch of people yelling at me. Well, how could you discount, you know, that all this work was done? And how could you, you know, degrade the work? I didn't degrade anything. I simply said, we've known this, that we've seen the movie before. This is reruns. This is like Happy Days or MASH. We've seen the reruns over and over again. We know how it's going to end. And sadly, I don't think it's going to matter because we're used to not doing anything about it. Just a little outrage, couple Facebook posts, which yesterday, with Facebook down, was kind of like a gift because, well, nobody can talk to each other because we don't do that anymore. But anyway, here to share some thoughts on the Pandora Papers. I've asked our good friend Bob Lord to come back and talk to us. Bob's the counsel to the Americans for Tax Fairness Group, also associate fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. Bob Lord, thanks for taking time for us, man.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So
good to be here.
Let's start with my basic premise. Virtually everything in here we already knew, and we've known a couple of times over. We've seen this. We saw it with the Panama Papers. We saw it when South Dakota decided they were going to be a tax haven. We've seen all this, and yet we've chosen to never do anything really substantive about it. Is this going to matter? Is it going to change anything this time?
Absolutely. We knew it all was there, but still, props to the folks who got all this information out there. It's
yes.
A lot of work. Going through, what was it, 11.7 million documents. And it just, at least it makes it just a little bit harder to deny that it's out there. And Rick,
did anybody deny it? I mean, was there anybody out there denying that this exists?
I think they've denied the level of it.
This is the worst kept secret ever.
Exactly. But, you know, the scope of it is getting harder to deny. Yes, you couldn't deny that there were folks out there hiding their wealth, but how many? And I mean, this really was some stunning stuff that we knew it was happening, but to actually see it confirmed, where we have all these governmental leaders from all around the world who are, you know, they're all in the tank. They've all.
And again, what's new about this, Bob? You know, but here's the weird thing. This drops on the day that Facebook goes down, and the story about Facebook got more press time and more airtime than we're being fleeced globally by an oligarch who is of politicians, business leaders, sports athletes, you know, singers and music, rich people. Rich people are robbing us blind, and yet Facebook's down.
But, you know, I think the one takeaway that we also knew, but this is the first time we've seen it reported widely, is that America's at the crux of the problem, where America itself is now a tax haven and a secrecy haven.
Yes.
And the way it was reported is, there's not many Americans with their wealth hidden like in Bermuda because they can hide it right here in South Dakota.
Or in Nevada or Delaware
yeah.
or in a handful of places.
But South Dakota's way out there in front,
yeah.
Rick. If it were a pennant race, South Dakota would have a 14-game lead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But again, I go back to, we've been talking about South Dakota. The first story I found was 2012 in my notes. So I've been talking about South Dakota as a tax haven since 2012.
That's right. And in 2000, I think it was 2019, a UK writer by the name of Oliver Bullough, wrote a book called Moneyland. And he had a couple articles, excerpts from it in The Guardian. And he went right through what was happening in South Dakota. Great read, by the way. If anybody's really interested in the subject, get a copy of Moneyland.
No, I went and I looked at the articles today again because, you know, I had all these people yelling at me because I've been going, well, what are we going to do about it? We've known about this for years and we've chosen to do nothing. Our elected leaders haven't done anything because probably they've got money stashed in South Dakota. Who knows? And for me, you're right. The scope was wow. personally, I think it's probably worse than even they've imagined, because it always is. But now the question is, what are you going to do about it? And I look to you guys, Americans for Tax Fairness. This should be exhibit A of why we need a $6 trillion infrastructure bill and not a $1.5 trillion one.
You know, absolutely spot on, Rick. And what's so maddening is the money's there. I posted something on Twitter today, and I went through what the top 100th of 1% of Americans have. They're sitting on $14 trillion of wealth. This is a group of 13,000 families that their average wealth is over $1 billion. You take 25% of that wealth from them, you fund that entire Biden infrastructure program, and they still have $750 million of wealth average left each. What's the problem?
Yeah, no, there's no problem. And the thing is, you know, it's not even, this is the weird thing. It's not even the Bezoses and the Elon Musks anymore that are hiding their money, because our tax code is so pathetically weak to begin with that they don't even have to pay taxes anyway. There are enough loopholes and enough places for tax avoidance lawyers to get them out of it that they don't even really need to hide it. It's now that, hey, we're just going to be extra greedy and hide even more. So this goes back to my point always. It doesn't matter what the tax rate is. Even if you lower the top marginal tax rate to 1%, there would be people still trying to hoard and hide to not pay that 1%, because they don't want to pay for anyone's kids to get an education. They don't want to pay for infrastructure so people can get to work. They don't want to pay for health care for folks. They don't care about the rest of society. Me, 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 me.
And look at what our society has become, where, you know, ultra high net worth, someone who's just fabulously wealthy, is considered $30 million. We have folks that have 1,000 times that much wealth. Now, if someone has 1,000 pair of shoes or has 1,000 dogs, they're considered a hoarder. But someone has 1,000 times as much wealth as they could ever, ever, ever need, and we don't call them a hoarder, they become a celebrity and we put them on the cover of Forbes. What kind of society does that?
This goes back to the embarrassed millionaire thing. For some reason, I think we all think that someday I'm going to be Jeff Bezos. I can guarantee you one thing. I am never, no matter what I do, ever going to be able to attain the wealth of a Jeff Bezos. There aren't enough lifetimes to me to accumulate that, nor would I want to. And I look to the Bezoses in our billionaire classes and go, you know, instead of hoarding and being this kind of greedy, you know, child shooting off your phallic rockets into the sky and building a giant bathtub boat, how about building a legacy? Leave something behind. And if the government won't do it, you know, call on our philanthropists to go, hey, your ego. But they're not even doing that.
No, and when there is philanthropy, it's not to help poor people. It's, you know, to have a building named after them, or, you know, or
I don't even care about that. We'll name all the buildings Bezos buildings.
Yeah.
We'll change the word building to Bezoses. If we can get kids to get an education, if we can get kids to get into school, we can get people to get health care. I don't care what you call them after this. Just, we got to get it done. And this is what's so frustrating, Bob, because I look at this Build Back Better plan as an opportunity to repair some of the damage done in the last 40 years of Reaganomics and the horrible conservative policies that have just ripped the working class of this country apart. This is a once in probably the rest of my lifetime ability to maybe reset something for my kids and future generations. And the Democrats fighting over numbers are boogering it up.
And just a handful of them, really two, Manchin and Sinema, holding the whole thing up.
And maybe if we just ate one of them. I mean, at some point, I mean, maybe it has to come to that. Maybe just eat one of the billionaires. I don't know. But at some point, it's got to be something where they go, oh, my gosh, I don't want to be, not me.
Well, you know, there's some billionaires out there, like Nick Hanauer, who said, hey, you know, if we don't do something ourselves, they're going to come with the pitchforks at some point.
Yeah, but when, Bob? When do we finally go, when? Because, you know, I'm looking at, again, back to these papers. I spend an entire day going through the incredible waste, fraud, abuse, the thievery, the hoarding, the greed, all of this stuff. Looking at the King Abdullah, looking at Putin's mistress, Tony Blair. Go across the globe, the president of Kenya. Go and look at these people literally taking food out of the mouths of children to enrich 10 generations down the road, and nobody's got a damn pitchfork.
Right. Right. It's a sad state of affairs, and this is it. Something's got to happen this time around.
If the Democrats
don't get it together, then where are we going to go?
Yeah.
They'll lose the 2022 midterms, and we'll go nowhere for another 10 years.
Do you see this as that moment? Because look, I've had some people go, well, you know, this is like the perfect opportunity now to be able to go, hey, we do need to raise some revenue. This is the perfect opportunity for a wealth tax. This is a perfect opportunity for, say, expanding investments because there's so much money out there. Everyone keeps saying this is the perfect opportunity, yet we have a small problem. We have a recalcitrant Republican Party who is willing to burn the house down because they don't want to pay the debt that they ran up in the last administration, and they don't want to let the Democrats pay the bills for now. They want everything to burn down. So if in that environment, how do you get anything done?
You know, it may already be too late to do something about climate change and stop the planet from burning. But certainly if we don't do something now, it's going to be too late. And they don't care.
And again, these are the people who are the scorched earth people. And this is why, when people say, how come Democrats, you know, don't fight back more? Because you're dealing with somebody who will literally burn your house down.
That's right. Yeah. Mitch McConnell is ready to burn the house down. But, you know, they don't have to let him do it. They could kill the filibuster. And if they're united, they could do what they want to do. But we got some Democrats that aren't in the right place.
Yeah. Well, you're in Arizona, right?
I am.
What is with that? With that mess you got as a senator?
Nobody knows. I mean, we don't even know what she wants, Rick. We don't know what she wants. Manchin, we know what he wants. We disagree with him. We think he's going to help burn the house down. But Sinema, we don't even know what she wants.
Well, I think she wants to be left alone in the bathroom.
And she didn't get that.
And, you know, generally I'm someone who goes, you know, the bathroom, that should be off guard. Generally I'm in that, you know, that's off limits. You know, leave someone alone. I got to be honest, though. You know, she's ducked everyone all along the way. She doesn't do town halls. She doesn't engage with the Washington press. She doesn't, you know, do interviews very often. There's literally no contact. You listen to constituents say, we can't get her on the phone. We can't get her staff half the time. I guess if that's the last place you can get a hold of her, I guess you got to go where you can go, right?
Well, did you see the video of her on the plane where this young immigrant who had like done work to get her elected wanted to know if she was going to help get her a path to citizenship, and Sinema just ignored her. They're a foot apart. The young woman's talking to her from standing up in front of her seat in the aisle of the plane, and Sinema wouldn't respond.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, and I keep coming back to, wasn't she like the, you know, the bisexual progressive, you know, going to, you know, be the one that's going to, you know, lead the, you know, the march into the 21st century? And, you know, and she's just gone flipping mad. I mean, you know, for me, it was the whole Dipsy Doo thing while she was voting down the minimum wage. You know, her little, whatever that was, the little dance with the thumbs down. I don't know if she was channeling a female version of John McCain or what. But, you know, I'm going, that was weird. Why would you do that? And she's only gotten weirder.
Well, yeah. And you know, what was terrible about that is, you know, we have a higher minimum wage in Arizona and it works here. So she was saying, well, my people are already covered, but we're not going to have a minimum wage for everybody else.
Yeah. Screw Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Because ours is still legally here in Pennsylvania. It's still $7.15 an hour. We haven't raised it since 2006, when it was $7.15 and nothing in between. That was the marching call. And then the feds raised it 2 years later up to up to $7.25, and that's where our minimum wage is, the lowest of any state around us. And interestingly enough, we're not stealing jobs from all the other higher wage states like we were promised. We're actually still losing jobs.
Well, because the wages that workers are paid are a tiny fraction of the cost of doing business. They could raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour tomorrow across the board. These corporations would all be just fine.
Right. So let's get back to the Panama Papers. In looking at this, I mean, I don't think there's any legislation anywhere. I don't think there's any politician who's really made any comments. I haven't seen any business leaders. It's quite interesting that nobody's really came out that I can see. Maybe you know somebody who has made some definitive statements on this. But it's interesting that it's kind of been, in the power circles, a lot of silence.
There's been a lot of silence. I mean, some of the tax legislation will cut back on what South Dakota is doing a little bit, but it's not enough. It's just not enough. I mean, for these dynasty trusts to go on for hundreds of years, I think we talked about this on another show, Rick. We're literally going to have families with trusts holding trillions of dollars.
Yeah. How see, this is what we do. We find that building in South Dakota that's got like 20,000 companies in it, and we bomb it. Oops. Sorry. You just lost all your wealth. It's over. Now go get a job. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
I'm not part of that. You're on your own, Rick, on that one. I'm behind you on most stuff, but not there.
There's nobody in the building anywhere. They're just P.O. boxes. There's nobody there. We're not talking about taking people out. We're just taking these trusts out. All of these pass-throughs where all this money's hoarded, just bomb the whole thing.
Bomb the money.
Bomb the money. Now go get a job. There's got to be a way to go. And I'm not inciting terrorism. I was joking. I don't have the capacity to drop a bomb on a building in South Dakota. But legislatively, we should be able to do something along those lines. There's my point. So there it is. But Bob, I appreciate you taking a little time for me, even if we did go somewhere off a rail.
Thanks, Rick.
Good stuff, Bob Lord, Council for Americans for Tax Fairness, who does not, under any way, shape, or form, endorse bombing the trust buildings that are holding all of the billionaire cash. He had nothing to do with that. But I'd love to hear your thoughts. Should we have a legislative fix to how we get rid of all this? Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around. Hey, listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.